Everything changed when I got born again, although the change was on the inside.
Right.
Right? It was where God came. The Bible says, let's look at it, 2 Corinthians 5. Somebody's excited to hear the word today. We have announcements and things. Somebody remind me at the end. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is, what?
In Christ,
he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Amen.
When someone receives Jesus, and I'm just going to assume in here that most of us have done that at some point, or you wouldn't be here. Now, there might be some in this room that have not done this, that have just gone to church because mom and dad make us go to church, or, you know, I've just always gone to church. Well, this message could be for you this morning. There's more than just going to church. There's more than just saying I'm a Christian. And that is this personal relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And when that happens, when we ask Him to become our Lord, that means He's in charge of our life. We're no longer in charge of our life. That's a big commitment to make. And it's not to be done lightly. Yeah. But when we make that commitment, we need to make sure we stick with that commitment. Yeah. Meaning, if He leads us to do something or go somewhere, He's our Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, in America, we don't have a good concept of what a king looks like, right? We have a president, but we have all kinds of stuff coming at our president, right? We've got checks and balances, we've got Congress, we've got judges, we've got all kinds of things. Our forefathers did that on purpose. Why? Because they didn't want one man, you got that right, a human man, to be lord of a country. Why? Because a human makes mistakes. They can get power hungry. They can get a little too aggressive in their rule, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus, He's God.
Amen.
And He is to be Lord of our life. Why? Because He knows what's best for our life. One of the biggest things to realize as a Christian is that God knows more than you. Whoa! Mind blown. We could end right now and go home changed, right? God knows more than me. And when I ask Him to be Lord of my life, I am now asking Him to show me, to lead me, to help me, to guide me through every part of my life.
Yeah.
What job I take, where I live, who I marry, my friends that I hang out with, everything is run through Him. And so we said, when we get what the Bible calls, what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus was asking Him, how do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus told him, you must be born again. Yeah. Or other translations say, born from above. Meaning, you've got to not only be born into this earth naturally, but there's a spiritual birth that takes place.
Yeah.
And that's what 2 Corinthians 5 is talking about. When I ask Jesus to become Lord of my life, I say everything changed because that instantaneously on the inside of me, and those of you who have done this, you understand what I'm talking about. On the inside of you, what was old in there passed away. And something new came. What came? The Holy Spirit. He created something new on the inside of each one of us. The only problem is that new part of us only came in our spirit. It didn't necessarily affect the way we think or our body. Now, I told you the stars seem brighter, right? Everything seemed different to me. Everything seemed new to me because so much had changed on the inside. This is hard to explain to someone who hasn't experienced it.
Yeah.
It is. So sometimes I don't even try. Like all those friends I told you about who tried to tell me, there's more. You should come with us. I didn't get it. I kept saying, I'm good. But because they kept after me, all right? Because they kept just saying, why don't you just come? Just come to church with us. Just come to this service with us. Just come and check things out. Because they kept after it, the Spirit of God was able to work on me. Yeah. And here's the other thing. This is so interesting this morning. Not only were they inviting me to come, we'll say come to church, because that for some, you know, it was that evening service, but they were inviting me to come to a place where God showed up. Let's say it that way, right? Where I could hear about the Word and see how people actually were to worship God. When they kept inviting me, they were also praying for me.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because, and I've said this, shared this before, but days before I gave my heart to the Lord, so that was February 18th, so let's say February 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, the Spirit of God started tangibly showing up in my life. Like I started realizing, something's happening, something's different. What's going on? I wasn't just concerned about natural things anymore. There was a presence. I was realizing there's something else to this earth than just natural things. This was so different for me because I had never, ever experienced a place where that presence was felt. I told you, in my church, we just didn't go there. I mean, we sang three hymns. We sang three verses of each hymn. The first, second, and fourth verse. I don't know why we always skip the third verse, but you do. And then, and then the minister had a sermon that he had prepared. It was almost always on the Good Samaritan. Anyone know what the Good Samaritan is? You know, he had somebody that got beaten and robbed. Jesus told us this story. Somebody got beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road, and there was all these people that passed by. There was a rabbi, you know, somebody who's supposed to be holy. He passed by and just looked the other way, didn't want to deal with the guy. There's all these people that passed by, and then the Samaritan, who wasn't supposed to deal with the Jews, he comes by and he takes care of them. He picks them up, he takes them to the neighboring inn, and he pays the innkeeper to take care of him and to nurse him back to health. So
yeah.
Jesus was saying, we need to take care of one another, right? Well, this was the parable that the ministers ministered on 90% of the time that we went to church. Now, granted, I was small, so this is what I remember. They may have expanded that, and I just didn't pay attention, right? But what am I saying? Even though I had heard the word, it was different. Now all of a sudden, days before I get saved, somebody's been praying, Lord, open her eyes. Help her to see.
Yes.
Help her to know that there's more to you. And I start sensing something tangible, something to do with, what is this, you know? And it gets so strong on me that I look at my one friend who's with me at one point, and I say, I start crying. Like, the presence of God is so strong, I'm weeping. And I said, what's happening to me? And she said, it's God. He's real. And I was like, oh, this is so strange. This is so strange. Why was it strange? Because I was only used to being natural. I wasn't used to the tangible presence of God. But how many can say, I've experienced that presence, right? Where he comes, he's here right now as we're talking about him. Yeah. He's here and he's tangible and he'll come and get in the chair with you.
That's right.
And when you ask him to be Lord of your life, this is what happens. Old things pass away. God comes to live on the inside of us. But we still have to take care of our mind, the way we think, and we have to make sure that our body starts to get in line with what the Word of God says.
That's right.
That's why we don't just pray for someone to receive Christ and then we just let them go. Say, okay, have a great life.
Right.
No, the next step is, hey, do you have a church? You need to get to church. You need to learn about what God has done for you, who he's made you, and what you are now, that he's come to live on the inside of you. Why? Because if somebody asks Jesus to be Lord of their life, they may experience, like I did, this change on the inside. And they may realize things are different, but you know what happened the next morning after I received Christ? Immediately what happened that morning, because I went to bed like, wow, this is amazing. God is real. This is amazing. Like, everything I had wanted my whole life and had really longed to know God, I really had from the time I can remember. I remember going into my church, and in our church, we had a huge gold cross that hung over the communion table. It was a real pretty church. And I remember being in the sanctuary all by myself. I was probably 7 or 8 years old and just staring at that cross and thinking, oh, I want to know God. Isn't that amazing? At any age, you can know God.
That's right.
You don't have to wait until you're 18. You don't have to wait until you're 30. You don't have to wait until you're 65 to know God. My kids got saved when they were 5 and 6 years old. They got filled with the Spirit, spoke in other tongues when they were little. Mm-hmm. Even so, at every phase of life, if you get saved when you're 5, you're still going to have to make some decisions when you're 18.
That's right. Yeah.
You're going to have to make decisions whether you're going to serve God or not serve him.
That's right.
It's where the rubber meets the road, right?
That's good.
If you'll serve him, I was just reading the other day where God told the Israelites right before they were to enter into the promised land, Moses got up and rehearsed all the law to them. That's a big rehearsal. Probably took days to go over it all. And then God told him this, said, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and curse. And then God it wasn't like just a multiple choice where you've got to determine which is the right answer. He said, I've set these before you. Now choose life.
That's right.
He gave us the answer to the multiple choice question.
That's right.
Life and death. If you don't know the answer, choose life.
Yeah.
Blessing, cursing. If you don't know the answer, I'm going to give it to you. Choose blessing.
That's right.
What does that mean? In every phase and stage of life, we've got to choose, are we going to serve him or are we going to just live to ourselves.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
The problem is that everybody in the world lives to themselves and thinks nothing of it, right? Yeah. And it can be easy, especially in transitions in life, for us to just kind of fall back into natural ways of thinking, natural things that the world does, and miss out on the next step God has for us. But God's steps always include your local church. God's step always includes learning more from Him and going further with Him. I hope this is helping somebody today, because we are all over the map as far as what we're ministering. But when old things pass away, all things become new. I said, I received Jesus. Everything looked different to me. Everything felt different to me. Not that we go by feelings. We go by what the Word of God says. And the Word says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So the Bible tells us that if you'll do this act, this prayer, and ask Him to become your Lord, you shall be saved. So it doesn't go by feeling, but when you do make that commitment and you mean it from your heart, things change and you feel different. But that next morning, as soon as I woke up, it wasn't joy and peace that was there. You know what was there? Fear and anxiety. Not inside me, but outside me.
Yeah.
I'm sure none of you know what I'm talking about when fear and thoughts come to your head. But sitting right next to my head, you know, sometimes in the cartoons, you'll see somebody trying to make a decision and you'll have an angel on one side and a little devil guy on the other side, right? And the one's telling them to do this, just beat the fire out of them. And the other one's saying, no, don't do that. Well, I know it's a cartoon, but the thought of the enemy being right there to try and talk you out of what you just received from God, that's very real. And I woke up the next morning not to peace and joy on the inside. I didn't even know that I could look to the inside, right? I had just received Christ the night before. And I didn't know what that even meant. I just knew I needed to do it. But I woke up the next morning to this pounding voice, hounding me, saying, what in the world did you do? Your parents are going to freak out. Everyone at home is going to think you're crazy. Why in the world did you raise your hand to pray that prayer? Now I was away actually at a retreat. It was a retreat for, we had a week off, winter break in February. And this Christian fellowship was going away for a couple days to Albany. My school was in New York. Rochester, New York. We went to Albany. So I had gone away. There was only a few of us, maybe 35 of us, on this retreat. So this thought was coming, just pretend it didn't happen. Go back to school and act like you never prayed that prayer. Why? Because if the enemy can get you to walk right back into the natural realm, your life won't be changed, even though you prayed to receive Christ.
That's right.
I mean, hounding me. It was hard for me to get out of bed. But it was time to leave and drive back home, so we had to go. So I got out of bed. Thank God for the people that had helped me to get to the place I needed to go to receive Christ. They ever so lovingly helped me to stay steady in the things of God and to learn more about the things of God and get me into the services I needed to go. That's why we are so ever wanting those that have just come to know Jesus. You know, you might get... it's okay to just, when they're on your heart, a little text, you doing okay today? We didn't see you in church. Where were you today? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because people need help. just because God has come to live on the inside of them, if they don't know to look there for mm-hmm. their strength, mm-hmm. what the enemy is saying is going to be overwhelming. So when someone gets born again, one of the first things they need to learn is that the Word of God is their instruction manual yes. to help yep. them through life. But it doesn't stop the first week you get born again. This is our instruction manual forever. That's right. And we are always going to be continually learning and growing in these things. We say all of that to say that the mind is the enemy's battleground. And anytime he can come sit on your shoulder and start talking to you, he will. And we have to be masterful at shutting down what the enemy is saying. Oh, thank you, Father. Where should we go from here? If you would, turn with me to Romans 12, verse 2. We'll just look at some of these verses this morning. You all have taken me on quite the field trip since we're still on the announcements. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, and we've read this before, should be familiar to us. If it's not familiar to you, underline it in your Bible. It says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your spirit?
No.
By the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Your mind helps determine whether you're going to serve God wholeheartedly or not. Meaning, you can be saved, you can have God living on the inside of you, but you can be so conformed to this world, you can think like the world, you can act like the world, you can talk like the world, to the point that people would never know you're a Christian.
That's right. Yeah, it's true.
Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and you've meant it, he's come to live on the inside of you, you will move to heaven when you die.
That's right.
Thank God.
Thank God.
But some people consider that the only transaction that's needed with God. We had Sister Annie Durant with us last week. Wasn't she talking about this where some people think that this is their only interaction with God. I get saved. I've got my ticket to heaven now, so I'm good. And if I need anything else, God, I'll let you know.
Right.
I guess we're tapping into her message a little bit today. That message, by the way, is on our podcast. You can listen to anything that we have ministered on Sundays in our podcast. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. It was awesome. So there's that type of Christian who just lives to themselves until a crisis comes up, and then they're like, God, I could use your help with this right here, because I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
That is a way to live, but it's certainly not the best way to live.
Yeah. Right.
God offers us so much more. He wants us to be able to discern the will of God in every area of our life and walk in a level of victory that the world just doesn't even understand, that they don't even know it's possible. Walking in a place with God where we hear from him and know what to do in such faith and assurity that other people in your family who aren't born again look and say, what has happened to you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Walk in a level of victory and knowledge of the word that we can do just what Jesus did, and that is go out and lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Glory to God. walk in a measure of life that we can affect other people around us, just like my friends my freshman year of college who got me to the place where I'd receive Jesus. That's the life God has for every Christian. But we've got to know how to do this in order to get there. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed!
Yeah.
Well, they used to have they probably still do, Transformers?
Yeah, there's a new one coming out this weekend.
There's a new one coming out this weekend to a theater near you. I will not be in that theater, but go for it. What are Transformers? They look like a car or something like that, but then they transform into something completely different, right? They can change back and forth. How are we transformed? By the renewal of our mind.
Yes.
How do we do that? Well, He's given us an entire handbook that helps us to renew our mind. We come to church to hear about the word. We go home, we read the word. We listen to podcasts or other messages about the word. Why? Because our mind needs help. Mine does. We never stop needing to do this verse. Like, you don't get, I got saved, I told you, right before my 19th birthday. I didn't, get to my 21st year and say, okay, I've been saved for a couple years, I'm good. Check off the renewing of the mind. No. We will constantly, forever, at least forever here on this earth, be renewing our mind to the way God thinks, to the way God has said we are to walk. We are to constantly be renewing ourselves to what God says we are, who we are in Him.
That's right.
We look way different in Him than we do in the natural.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Amen.
And so there are those Christians out there who can say, all right, I received Christ, so I'm going to go to heaven, and now I'm just going to live my life. Fine, you do you. But if you want to make an effect on this earth for others, you're going to have to do some of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want God to be a part of every moment of your life, every decision, everything you do, if you want to choose His life and blessing instead of walk in death and curse, you're going to have to do this. Let's just say it to me. I'm going to have to do this.
Amen.
And it's going to be every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Let's look at a couple more verses, can we? How about 1 Corinthians 10? Oh, glory to God. This is sort of, kind of what I was going to minister, but we like God's plan, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 10. Have to go to the right spot to get to... Second Corinthians 10, verse 3, this is Paul writing. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. That's an interesting way to state it, isn't it?
Yeah.
We walk in the flesh. What does he simply mean? He simply means we walk in a natural world, right? We still have a natural body,
right?
The flesh. It's our body. You need your body.
That's right.
On this earth. If your body isn't working, you aren't living. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? If your heart stops, it's great to have a spirit that's born again, but you're not going to be functioning on earth. So we do walk in the flesh, meaning we walk in this natural realm, right? But we're not waging war according to the flesh, meaning we're not just dealing with flesh with flesh. We're not just dealing with natural situations with the natural, like the world does. Right? The world has to deal with the natural situations that come up, like our government, praise the Lord. When they see the economy getting too good, what are they going to do? They're going to raise interest rates, because that makes sense. Things are too good. Oh, let's make it harder for people to get a loan. No, they only know how to deal with things in the natural.
That's right.
They have to combat things from the natural because it's the only way the natural world knows how to work. But we as Christians don't have to do that. We're not waging war. We're not going at situations that come at us. And we're not going at thoughts that come to our minds with the natural realm in mind. I'm not just trying to, hum away or sing a pretty song to get rid of the thoughts that are coming against me, or doing whatever the world will tell you to do, count sheep, I don't know, to help you go to sleep. You know, whatever the world is trying, you know, they're big about meditation or something like that. Just take a deep breath. Well, yeah, take a deep breath and then say a scripture. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? But we're not just dealing with this thing according to the flesh. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds.
That's right.
The weapons of our warfare, what does that mean? That means we have weapons that the world doesn't have. We have strategies and ways to put down things that come up in our lives, including thoughts that the enemy brings to our mind. We have ways to destroy those things that are not of the flesh.
Yes, we do.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. Divine power. We need to know what these weapons are. We need to know how to use them, because divine power, God's power, it's the best power to have. I don't have guns or things like that, but if I was into that, I'd want some strong things, you know. I wouldn't want like a BB gun. Bing. Right? I want something with power to take care of some things, right? We have divine power, better than any natural power. And look at what he says, this divine power that we have to destroy strongholds. Look at what he talks about in verse 5. What do we destroy with this divine power? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And if that weren't enough, we take, with this divine power, we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So this divine power that God has given us, these weapons that God has given us with his anointing backed in that, these things are not to go against other people. I don't like what you said. No, we don't have to come against other people. We use these things to destroy arguments, opinions, and take thoughts that come to our mind captive. We said this, that the enemy's greatest battleground is your mind.
Yeah.
The day after I got saved, he was right there dogging me. Mm-hmm. Just pretend it never happened. Just pretend you didn't pray that prayer. Just go back and walk like you always did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he hasn't given those thoughts to me, like pretend you're not a Christian, in a long time.
Yeah.
Why? I'm way beyond that.
Yeah.
My whole life is him.
Yeah.
Right? But he will find other things.
Sure.
To try and talk you out of having God's best. And we need to become masterful with our divine weapons in how to renew our mind with the Word of God and be able to, with the Word, take any thought that isn't of God captive. Oh my, and kick it out the door. Mm-hmm. One of our Bible school teachers years ago, he said this. He had a friend who said this. Every Christian mind should have a good bouncer at the door. Now, you'd have to be in the world a little bit to know what a bouncer does, right?
Yeah.
But apparently, at a bar, they have people outside a bar or whatever to ID you and make sure that you're the right age to get into the building, right? And they're called bouncers, meaning if you're not the right age, you're bounced out. I have a story about that, which I won't tell you now. Every Christian mind needs to have a bouncer at the door. What does that mean? I'm sorry, that doesn't equal what the Word of God says I am, so you can't stay.
Yeah.
You're bounced out. Bounced out. You can't stay.
Amen.
When thoughts of sickness come, you can bounce them out.
That's right.
Why? Because the Word says you've been redeemed from every sickness and every disease. Praise the Lord. When thoughts of being inferior or not making the right decision come, you can bounce those out. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. And the Spirit of God leads me into all truth. And He helps me to know all things. That's what the Scripture says.
Yeah. Amen.
What are we doing? We are answering the thoughts with the Word. That's how you bounce out thoughts that aren't from Him.
Amen.
We are taking every thought captive. When somebody gets taken captive, we have a picture of somebody on the side of the road maybe with handcuffs, right? When they're taken captive, they're stopped in their tracks, right?
Right.
And they're bound.
Yeah.
When a thought comes, we don't just accept it, we stop it.
Yeah.
And we look at it and we compare it to what the Word says. And if it doesn't match what the Word says, we kick it out.
Right. Yeah.
But what most people do when a thought comes is they take it and they just look at it and they think, oh, that's pretty.
Uh-oh.
Let's think about it some more. 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 Until that thought becomes part of the way we think.
Yeah.
Are we helping some people today?
Yes. Very much.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more scripture. Can we do that?
Yeah.
And then we'll end it for today. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, you know, Jesus was our example. Everything He did was as an example to us. Everything He did on this earth in His earthly ministry. Now, you understand, He went to the cross and died as our Savior. We don't do that, right? He did that for us. But that which He did in His earthly walk and ministry, He did as a demonstration for how we're to live on this earth. Didn't He say in John, the works that I do, you should do also?
Yeah.
Well, how are we to do that? We're to look at how He did it and follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that happened to Jesus after He got baptized in the river and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and he was anointed for ministry, was he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the enemy came. And that's where we pick this up in Luke chapter 4. Verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit had just come upon him in the River Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. He was being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. And look at this. The devil said to him. We said the primary way the enemy will attack you is in your mind.
That's right.
The first thing we see after Jesus was anointed for ministry and started to come, it was ready to begin really his earthly ministry at age 30, was the enemy started talking. We don't have record of the enemy talking to him before this. Not saying he didn't, just saying we don't have record of it. But let me tell you, you start making some steps towards moving further in the things of God. You start making a stand that I'm going to serve God no matter what. Guess who's going to show up and try to talk you out of it? Or try to talk you into doing it differently than God showed you to do it. And that's exactly what the devil said to him. Said in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus did what? He answered. He answered the enemy's thought and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us how to deal with these thoughts that come to us. When the enemy tries to tell you to do something one way, understand that the Word of God is where we look, and you are authorized by the head of the church to answer the enemy and say, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to use what God says in the Word of God, which the Bible says is the more sure testimony, right?
Yeah.
This written Word of God is where we get our answers for life. Jesus answered him, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Don't tell me to command something. The enemy has no right to tell you how to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. That used to be my daughter's favorite phrase. Don't tell me how to live my life. It was a joke. She wasn't saying that to me. It was a joke. Don't tell me how to live my life. The enemy will try to tell you how to live your life. And if your mind isn't renewed and you don't know how to take those thoughts captive, you'll just follow along and go the enemy's way. Even Jesus, say Jesus, even Jesus had to deal with the thoughts from the enemy. Don't think you're alone in this.
That's right.
Right? Every one of us will have to deal with thoughts.
That's right.
Whatever it is, the enemy might try to tell you, you're ugly, no one likes you, no one ever wants to be your friend. Whatever it is, he will try to tell you that. That's not what God says about you. And just like Jesus, you're going to have to know enough of the word to answer him. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are we okay?
Yeah,
everybody good?
Good?
It's not, man shall not live by bread alone. The enemy comes two more times and starts talking to him and showing him things, right? The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I'll give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you'll just worship me, it'll all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And again, the enemy took him up to the pinnacle, said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now these are two parts of Scripture from Psalm 91. Do you know the enemy knows Scripture too?
Yeah.
And he'll try to give you half-truths, portions of Scripture, to try and get you off course. And you might think, well, I don't know enough Scripture. How will I know if it's the enemy or what it is? Listen, if it's coming from out here and it's putting pressure on your mind,
yes,
it's the enemy. God will never lead you by force and by pressure. The enemy will always try to pressure you. Jesus answered him, verse 12. It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Meaning, the enemy was just pulling back to regroup, and he was going to come after Jesus again. He's not going to stop dogging our minds.
Right.
But we can stop him every time. With the word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is really, really, really good news.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what we see in Scripture is what we're supposed to look like for real.
Yeah.
It's who God made us.
Yeah.
And anything that starts coming against your mind saying, you're not this, people don't like that, what's this going to be like? You're never going to make it. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to have a great career. Whatever it is that the enemy's trying to dog you with, you can combat with the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that was a lot.
Thank you, Lord.
But so very, very, very important that once we get born again, we realize that's not the end. That's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will try to talk you out in every stage of your life, whether it's, you know, you've just moved, whether you just got a new position, whether you're looking for, you know, this or that in life. The enemy will always try to steer you away from God's plan. And it's so very important to know what the word says and to stay hooked with your local church, where you can stay clear as to what God's path is for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Father, we're grateful today for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity to hear from you and to be led by you. Thank you for your word that teaches us and helps us. And thank you for the Spirit of God who reveals to us what we need to know in the moment.
Yes.
Thank you for helping us to recognize and take captive every thought that isn't of you. And thank you for your strength to kick it out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.